The state of Israel continues to be in the news this week for a whole host of reasons. Negotiations over the fate of the hostages devolved when Hamas said they had accepted a proposal, but in truth had replaced the offer on the table with a new one of their own making. President Biden has threatened to restrict some arms sales to Israel. Targeted military operations seem to have begun around Rafah, where Hamas's leadership is believed to be hiding, along with many of the hostages and the remainder of Hamas's fighters, and a massive civilian population that is very much in danger of being caught in the crossfire. Hezbollah continues to shoot rockets at Israel's north, and just for good measure, an Israeli woman named Eden Golan has made it to the Saturday night finals of the Eurovision pop singing competition. These are just a few of the headlines about Israel this week. Any of them, all of them, are deserving of comment and connection to Judaism in a wide-ranging sermon, but that's going to wait for another night or another bulletin article, because I have something else about Israel that I want to share with you tonight. On Monday night and Tuesday, Israel will mark Yom Ha'atzma'ut. What is Yom Ha'atzma'ut? This is the interactive part you can call out. It is Independence Day, Israel's Independence Day. How old is the state of Israel? 76. You can use your fingers if you need to. That's right. Right? So we say happy birthday to Israel. And birthdays, we know, can be a time of celebration and also a time of introspection or reflection or review or renewal. Well, earlier this week, in a discussion about Israel and the range of emotions that it evokes among different members of our congregation, one of our TBS members reminded me that as much as we can critique Israel or feel unsettled by some of the news about it these days, we also have to remember to love Israel and to talk positively about our connections to Israel. The non-Jewish world can talk poorly of Israel, and some of them do. And we can certainly criticize Israel, and some of us do. But we are also the ones who have to show our love for Israel and our connection to Israel, even with or despite everything else going on. So tonight, I want to share with you one example of why I love Israel, why I feel connected to Israel, why I am Jewishly inspired by my ideal vision of what Israel can be. This is not the Israel of the newspapers or the Israel of the history books or even the Israel of the Bible, but it's what at its best I feel Israel can and should, and God willing, one day will be. As part of the celebration of Israel's birthday and this lead up to Yom Ha'atzma'ut, the World Zionist Organization organizes a very meaningful event. They stage a public reading of Israel's Declaration of Independence. Now, this by itself is nothing earth-shattering. Look, I lived in the Boston area for a dozen years, and every year on the 4th of July, there was a staged reading of the Declaration of Independence from the balcony of the old State House in downtown Boston, and it was read always by the commanding captain of the Ancient and Honorable Artillery Company of Massachusetts in full 18th century costume, because they've been doing this since 1778. The WZO event, by contrast, only began 4 years ago. But I want to tell you what I found so meaningful about what it was that they did. This reading of the Declaration of Independence takes place in Jerusalem, in the Old City, at the Western Wall, at the section of the Western Wall that has been created as an egalitarian space. We know most of the Western Wall is segregated men and women. Here, though, in the heart of Jerusalem, in the symbolic spiritual center of Judaism, in an egalitarian setting, this political document is proclaimed out loud. It's read by 12 individuals who are selected by the World Zionist Organization from all walks of Israeli life. This ceremony was held just yesterday and broadcast around the world. It was available in English and French, and I watched the English one. That was the best for me. But watching these 12 folks come up for this Declaration of Independence was quite something. This year's readers included a male rabbi who is a leading thinker in the ultra-Orthodox Haredi community, who is seeking ways to better integrate the community into Israeli society. A female Israeli rabbi who is the newly elected head of the conservative movement in Israel. The male rabbi who leads the reform movement's flagship synagogue in Jerusalem. A theater director who works with underprivileged segments of society. A kibbutznik from the early days of the state, who is actually the son of one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. An LGBTQ activist and writer. A woman who was recently Israel's deputy attorney general, and the brother of two Israelis still held hostage by Hamas. It was an incredibly diverse group of people, different religious identities, of genders, of ethnic backgrounds, of roles in society. I've been saying that the Declaration of Independence is read at this event, but actually that's not 100% accurate. To be more precise, the Declaration of Independence at this event was chanted by the 12 participants. It's inscribed on a parchment scroll and chanted aloud in the special melody that is used for chanting Haftarah verses on Shabbat mornings. Think about that for a minute. Could you imagine standing on the steps of the U.S. Capitol and singing, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed." Right? It would be like that, but with Haftarah trope, right? In so many ways, I found this act of Israeli patriotism, the whole ceremony, truly moving, as there were parts of it that represented my ideal vision of what Israel I sincerely and longingly and lovingly Jewishly want Israel to be. The ceremony was diverse, as I mentioned, all the variety of different readers. I want Israel to revel in its diversity, to celebrate the many different aspects of its society and all of its citizens, Ashkenazi and Sephardi and Ethiopian and religious and secular and Muslims and Christians and Jews and Druze and Israelis and Palestinians and all races and all creeds and beliefs and genders, orientations and political learnings, everyone. My ideal Israel is inclusive of all. This event was part of the secular holiday of Independence Day, but it's inherently tied into Jewish history. It takes place at the Western Wall, the remnant of the Second Temple. There's an obvious link to be made between Jewish sovereignty under the ancient kings of Israel, who ruled from Jerusalem, to the modern state of Israel with Jerusalem as its capital. My ideal Israel is tied inexorably to Jewish history. The event is a modern expression of our ancient values. As I said, it takes place at the only part of the wall where men and women can pray together. It's a demonstration that Judaism and Israel should be based on the notion of equality and respect for every human being. And as much as it is a celebration of Israel's political and secular independence, it has all the trappings of this religious event. There are 12 readers, it's noted, to parallel the 12 tribes of ancient Israel. Each one was called to the reading table with the language used for calling an aliyah, a reader, to the Torah. They even used a yad to follow along in the parchment text that was inscribed with the declaration. And they pointed to the words as they read them. And they're singing in Haftarah trope, as is heard on Shabbat morning in synagogues around the world. The event was a religious event, as my Israel ideal is a place that I'm connected to by my religion. All these characteristics, the diversity, the equality, being a part of Jewish history, an expression of ancient values, the intimate connection with Judaism and its practices, all of these are my ideal Israel. They're all elements of that. And here's the final piece of it. I mentioned that the trope that was used is the Haftarah trope. Those are the melodies that we use for the weekly section of reading, not from Torah, but from the books of the prophets. I actually suspect there's a very practical reason for it not being Torah trope that was used. I don't think people would, well, there might be some who would take offense at the notion that the Declaration of Independence had the same spiritual significance as Torah. So they used Haftarah trope instead. That's okay. I actually love that Haftarah trope is used because of what it symbolizes. Haftarah trope is used for the words of the prophets. And these prophets were called by God to preach to the people of the day and to deliver two messages. First, that the people had gone astray from God's word and that their society had deviated from the ideals of justice and righteousness. And second, that once they worked to fix that, God would bring them back. There's a hopefulness in the message of the prophets. They railed against the world as it was, but they held up a vision of the world as it could be. That expression of hope, that aspiration, is indelibly part of my ideal Israel. Israel isn't perfect. No nation is. No country truly lives up to the lofty principles upon which it is founded. I don't care what melody you sing to it. But striving towards those ideals, the embrace of the hope that they can be achieved, the commitment to trying to fulfill that vision, that is what my Israel is. That is what my Israel does. It's no accident that the national anthem of Israel is Hatikva, which means the hope. It may be a never-ending project to try and make real the values and ideals upon which Israel was founded, but that's okay. We've been at it for a few thousand years. We can keep striving for a few thousand more. I do plan on sending out a message to the congregation on Yom HaAtzma'ut this year. It'll include a handful of things, but hopefully if they release it, a link to that video of the WZO ceremony so that you can see it for yourself. Again, it's all in Hebrew, but the subtitles, the English subtitles, are pretty accurate and pretty good, and I hope that you'll take a look at that as well. Friends, even as Israel remains in the news, even as we experience and express a range of emotions on Yom HaAtzma'ut this year, let our love of the ideal Israel, our vision that it can work to change the world as it is into the world as it should be, let that Israel be what we celebrate this year.